Tomorrow marks 2 years since final congressional approval of the McCain-Feingold campaign finance bill. Conventional wisdom predicted that the law would cut down on big-dollar influence in Washington, and that it would cripple fundraising by Democrats who had voted overwhelmingly for the bill. NPR's Peter Overby reports it hasn't exactly turned out that way.
For a while, the buzz of campaign 2004 was the small donor. Former Vermont Governor Howard Dean worked the internet to raise roughly $50 million, a record for the Democratic Party. But the real financial power has turned out to be President Bush. His total take so far, more than $150 million, three times more than Dean, and already close to what the first George Bush and Bill Clinton raised between them when they ran in 1992. It turns out the McCain-Feingold campaign finance law amplifies the president's fundraising prowess.
New York loves you!
Thank you, sir.
We hear you, George.
Let me get started. Thanks for coming. Thanks for your friendship. Thanks for your support. It is great to be back in New York.
Last Thursday, for example, this reception on Long Island brought in $1.6 million. Tickets cost $2,000 each. Before McCain-Feingold, the legal limit for presidential campaign contributions was half that, $1,000. The Independent Campaign Finance Institute says that 78% of what President Bush raised last year came in these big, previously prohibited amounts, as did 69% of Democrat John Kerry's money. Both candidates rely on the new celebrities of money politics, bundlers, people who work their own personal networks for contributions. Michael Berman, a Democratic strategist since the 1970s, says Democrats are beating expectations in the presidential money race.
I did a quick check the other day, and it looked like our candidates together had raised just about as much through January as Bush had for his own campaign.
In other ways, too, predictions about life under McCain-Feingold seem to be off target. For example, McCain-Feingold banned the so-called soft money contributions from unions, corporations, and the wealthy. That cost the National Party committees a combined total of $500 million. That was supposed to benefit Republicans. They've always had more individual donors, not just the upper middle class and the wealthy, but small donors, too. And indeed, the Republican National Committee's annual gala last fall was pretty productive.
Because of you and because of the great gala leadership here, Mr. President, I am proud to tell you that we have raised over $14 million.
But the Democratic National Committee spent the last of its soft money to build a small donor database. And so Democrats have recovered nicely from losing their soft money. Analyst Michael Malbin at the Campaign Finance Institute says McCain-Feingold has been unpredictable.
It does not seem to have a strong party advantage yet. We expected it in the short term to help the Republicans.
Finally, McCain-Feingold was expected to push soft money toward independent advocacy groups. But only the Democrats have really tried to reap the soft money. Millions of dollars are flowing into a network of liberal groups. $6 million so far just from financier George Soros. Republicans now argue that McCain-Feingold makes this money illegal. But the Federal Election Commission hasn't said so yet. Commission Chairman Bradley Smith, himself a Republican, has his doubts, legally and politically.
I think if Republicans think they're going to win by silencing their opponent, I think they're going to deserve to lose.
So at this point, in what's looking like the most expensive presidential campaign ever, you could make two definite statements about the McCain-Feingold law. First, it's yet to give either party a big financial advantage. And second, it may have started more legal arguments than it settled. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.